Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Roberts, and today we are sponsored by No Halftime. Please go visit nohalftime.com for more information about how to get a free bonus $25 for signing up. You can do that by entering the promo code BBALL. That's B-B-A-L-L. And that's, again, that's No Halftime, the fantasy sports where the fantasy sports season never takes a break. Also, just want to remind our listeners to please rate and review the podcast. Please subscribe. And as I mentioned, this is a special edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. This is the podcast in reaction to the daily fantasy sports legal issues that are going on in New York. And I have not one, but two legal experts who are involved in some way or another in the daily fantasy sports industry. So I want to introduce those two to you now. First, we have Daniel Green, who was on the podcast yesterday telling us how to play Daily Fantasy, and now he's going to put on his legal hat, I guess, so to speak, a little bit and talk a little bit about the ruling in New York. How's it going, Daniel?
It was going better yesterday, Mark. It's going. It's definitely been an interesting day in New York, and this news, while not great, hopefully we'll try to make sense of it for you today.
Yeah, very good. And our other guest is Justin. Oh, Justin, sorry. I don't want to butcher your last name. I forgot. You just told me how to say it.
No worries, Mark. It's Philco, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Justin, do you want to – we introduced Daniel a little bit more yesterday. Do you want to give us a little bit of a background on why we would have you on the podcast today?
Sure. I'm an attorney here just outside of Chicago. I practice at the Franklin Law Group. Primarily my practice revolves around commercial and business litigation, which is the boring stuff, but we also have a pretty burgeoning sports practice where we focus a lot of our representation on fantasy sports operators.
That's so cool, man. That's cool that you get to weave sports into the real world job.
And that's what
Daniel,
it's about.
Yeah, man, exactly. Daniel, I don't know if we mentioned this yesterday. You're also an attorney, right? Is that correct?
That is correct. So I am an attorney. I practice
New York.
Yeah, I practice in New York, and I practice corporate law. I do not really do any sports law, per se, but I know a little bit about it, and obviously, because I spend so much of my time playing DFS, I am familiar with all the laws, and given what's been going on the last few months, as me and you discussed off air yesterday, I knew that this, unfortunately, could become a possibility.
It's actually true. I wish we would have recorded it now, but Daniel was telling me right before we hit record on our podcast yesterday, like, there's a chance that New York shuts down Daily Fantasy any day, and sure enough, it happened. So, guys, and based on your backgrounds, I can't think of two better guys to come in and talk about what's going on and help explain to idiots like me, like, what this means and help me kind of digest this news and understand how big of a deal or small of a deal it is. So maybe we can just set the table by helping those of us that don't get into the details of this so much. Why was daily fantasy sports, why is it not treated like gambling in some places? Let's back up even a step more. Can one of you briefly just describe just the events of what happened? We'll get into the analysis a little bit more. Why don't we just set the table for anybody who hasn't heard, and will one of you share the news of what happened today and why, and again, not exactly why it's important, but just kind of give us a rundown of what happened.
Yeah, so I mean, essentially today, I mean, the New York Attorney General, he issued cease and desist notices to FanDuel and DraftKings, demanding that they stop accepting money from New York residents. And he basically, he ruled that DFS is gambling, and as such, is basically would become illegal in New York. So, I mean, in the letter that he sent to the DFS operators, and I think, I'm not sure if he sent it to other operators besides FanDuel and DraftKings. I know those were the two that were commonly mentioned. He basically stated that, this is a quote, that each DraftKings FanDuel wager represents a wager on a contest of chance where winning or losing depends on numerous elements of chance to a material degree. And that's kind of as me and Justin will get into, and hopefully, we won't have to make it too boring and legal. But, this all kind of boils down to, is DFS, is daily fantasy sports, is it, a game of chance, or is it a game of skill? And if it's a game of chance, that's gambling, that would be illegal. And if it's a game of skill, which is, it's been legal because
Will you explain that to me? Why has it legally been treated differently than gambling, at least up to this point?
Okay, well, so again, like, and one thing that, you know, Justin can hop into anytime, like, the gambling laws are, first, they're crazy, and the more you kind of dive into it and try to understand it, the more kind of you can kind of shake your head and kind of pull out your hair. But I will say, so in 2006, kind of the federal government passed what's called the Unlawful Internet Gambling Enforcement Act. And this essentially made internet gambling, it dealt a lot with online poker, illegal. However, in this law, there was an exemption for fantasy sports. Now remember, this is back in 2006, and it basically said that fantasy sports, you know, can be legal as long as it's a game of skill. Now, that's kind of all it said. Now remember, this is back in 2006. Now fast forward a couple of years. Well, first of all, I mean, I guess I'll say this. When that law was passed, there's nothing to indicate when Congress passed it that DFS was ever contemplated. So when they passed this law that, you know, that season-long fantasy is could be legal and there's this exemption, no one really contemplated that, you know, that daily fantasy sports would become a thing, and then, you know, I mean, no one thought that it would, you know, become this giant, you know, multi-billion-dollar, you know, industry in 2015. But you fast forward, you know, and FanDuel, I think it opened around 2009. But really, no one started questioning the legality of, you know, of DFS, which, again, was operating under the assumption, under this exemption, and DFS was saying, well, no, fantasy is allowed because it's a game of skill. No one questioned that until two very important events started happening. And Justin can kind of say if he agrees or disagrees. But the first event was, you know, starting, you know, in this September, DraftKings and FanDuel both decided to undergo a massive advertising campaign where DraftKings basically spent $20 million a week, and this was during week one of the NFL. They started this. I think FanDuel was around $10 million, and they spent this on advertising, and they basically shoved DFS down everyone's throat. So if you weren't aware of DFS, you certainly were, this past September. It was impossible to miss a DraftKings or FanDuel commercial. So that kind of got people, you know, kind of asking questions. Wow, what is this FanDuel and DraftKings? It certainly seems like gambling to me. You know, how could this be legal? Not to mention, it really did annoy a lot of people by just the pure frequency of the advertising. It was such an over-the-top, you know, advertising campaign. So that was kind of event number one, where people first started kind of questioning, you know, what is this FanDuel, DraftKings, DFS, and how could this be legal? Then the second event that was kind of just unfortunate is that there became an accusation of insider trading within the realm of DFS, and that's where there was a DraftKings employee where he basically published like an ownership percentage ownership chart, which basically it showed the ownership percentages of certain NFL players before that data would have been public. And this certain employee happened to win, or happened to actually take second place in a million-dollar tournament on FanDuel, and won $350,000. So now it turned out that actually this guy didn't even have an advantage, and even though he did have access to certain data, it didn't help him win that money. But you know, no one really cared. I mean, as soon as you hear insider trading, you know, kind of the, you know, that it took off, and there were articles everywhere, and then a bunch of different states started investigating DFS. And you have those, so you have those two kind of elements starting. You have the massive advertising campaign, which put DFS, you know, in the forefront of everyone's brain, and then all of a sudden you have scandal, you know, insider trading. You have those two kind of events, and now all of a sudden you have different states kind of questioning DFS, and New York was one of those states, and New York launched a criminal investigation into the legality of DFS, and kind of that's what brought us to the decision today, where the Attorney General kind of, you know, issued these letters saying that, hey, you know, I think this is not a game of skill. I think it's a game of chance. And I think, you know, it's illegal in New York. And FanDuel, DraftKings, you guys need to stop, you know, taking money from any New York resident. And that's where we are.
Yeah, thanks. That's a great summary there, Daniel. At least it helps me to understand a little bit more what's going on here. Justin, is there anything you want to add as far as you think why DFS was treated differently and is treated differently most of the places in comparison to gambling?
So I think that's really the key. It really comes down to, you know, the legal definition of what constitutes gambling is, you know, as Daniel basically touched on, there's the federal statute that, you know, it, what it did was it made the processing of certain online gambling transactions illegal. But, you know, critically, what that UGIA statute did, it explicitly exempted from its definition of bets and wagers participation in fantasy sports contests that met a number of requirements. Now, where a certain contest meets each of these specific requirements, one of them being that they're games of skill, it wouldn't run afoul of UGIA's prohibitions. Now, the thing that I think is critical to note when we start discussing, you know, specific states such as New York, is that the analysis doesn't stop at the federal level. Federal law can supplement state law, but generally speaking, federal law doesn't make a form of gambling legal, which would otherwise be illegal under state law. That's where Daniel is referencing how gambling law can be very nuanced and very subjective particularly at the state level. Now, the key to what makes something gambling or not is when it meets, in most jurisdictions, is when it meets, you know, three key components, three elements. One of them being consideration, that's money you pay in, that's the entry fee that we're all very familiar with. The other being prize, and, you know, that's, you know, some sort of reward that you get based on the outcome of the contest. And the third one being chance. Now, if a game is one of chance, what the end result is that it's typically deemed, if the other two elements are met, a game, a contest of chance, which is gambling. If it's one of skill, under the, you know, that state's specific test that it uses to measure whether a game is skill or chance, if it's one of skill, then it is not gambling in most jurisdictions. And that, again, that's where we're talking the nuance and the differences at each of the individual state laws, because states, you know, even under the UGIA statute, it expressly says on its rule of construction that, you know, the statute doesn't alter, limit, or extend, you know, any state law prohibiting or regulating gambling. You know, the states can regulate within their borders as to what constitutes gambling, which is what, you know, presents very unique challenges for fantasy sports businesses under these very subjective laws.
Can you help me understand why they would have made an exception for fantasy sports originally? Like, was that because whoever wrote the bill had a fantasy football league that they didn't want to become illegal or something? Like, what was the initial reason that they felt like fantasy sports should be exempt?
I think you nailed it on the head. My understanding was my understanding was at the time the bill was passed, it was funneled in with something called the Port Act. Basically, it was part of a larger bill, and the goal was to get some enforcement level teeth in a way to prohibit, you know, things like online poker, which, you know, the government had decided needed, you know, to be outlawed. You know, that way they went after the payment processors. But what the government wanted to make clear, based on, you know, as simple as there were members of Congress who played season long fantasy sports games, that they didn't want those games to be deemed illegal to the extent that, you know, nominal amounts of money were being placed on these contests.
Oh, interesting. All right, so now the New York Attorney General has come out with this declaration. Logistically, Daniel, can you help us understand what does that mean? Like, if I live in New York, am I allowed to still play Daily Fantasy, or am I not allowed to play Daily Fantasy? And then also, if I don't live in New York, am I allowed to play Daily Fantasy, or am I not allowed to play Daily Fantasy?
Well, so I guess to tackle the latter question, so if you don't live in New York, I mean, currently, you know, again, there's, you know, like, there's certain states where DFS is illegal, so you can't play it. And I think, you know, and I don't even have a list in front of me and know what those states are. I mean, for instance, I know Justin probably knows that Nevada recently, you know, came out and said, you know, you can't play in Nevada unless you're basically a licensed operator. So There are certain states where DFS is illegal. To find, you know, I'm sure there's other sites or other. Justin, you know where you can find like a list of what states, or maybe you know off the top of your head what states you can't currently play in.
Sure. Essentially, there's a handful of states where nearly every operator will not operate in because, as I discussed, there's certain tests as to what constitutes skill and chance. And based on the tests used in those states, they use what's called the any chance test, meaning if there's any chance involved in the game, it's one of chance, and therefore it will constitute gambling, which is illegal under those state statutes. Louisiana, Arizona, Montana, Washington, and Iowa are those five. And then you mentioned Nevada, which also recently came out with an opinion of the Attorney General basically stating that it is also it's also gambling, though Nevada is a little bit different, which I think we'll end up discussing a little bit later. But Nevada kind of presents a unique circumstance because they can actually regulate sports betting, unlike most states, or basically almost every other state in the union. So they didn't declare illegal. What they declared illegal was operating without a license. Basically, they called it gambling, but they can actually regulate gambling. And so since they can regulate gambling, they're required a license to legally operate in Nevada currently.
Okay. So if I live in not one of those states, I am still allowed to play daily fantasy if I choose to.
Right. No, that's correct. Well, really what the laws, you know, a lot of the laws deal with, you know, they deal with not only operators, operating things like gambling devices or offering, you know, illegal gambling contests. But they do have laws on the books prohibiting, you know, basically individuals from gambling. But the enforcement of those laws against individuals is rare, very rare. Really, the risk falls on the operators or payment processors, credit card merchants, not so much the individuals participating in those states.
Right. So what about in New York? Is it, Daniel, maybe you can answer this for us. Is it, if there's somebody in New York listening tonight, or you specifically, I know you play a lot of daily fantasy games.
I had hundreds on the line. Potentially.
Yeah. Yeah. So you play. Did you play tonight? Like, are you playing today?
Well, yeah. I mean, honestly, today may have been one of the craziest days I've had in a long time. I mean, because and most of us who play NBA DFS know that the lineup lock basically happens at 7 p.m. if you're playing on FanDuel. So, I think the news broke. I think it was close to like 6 p.m. Even though there was something creepy going on earlier in the day, because DraftKings like sent us all an email about, you know, sign this petition if you think in DFS should not be illegal in New York. So there was, you know, something didn't seem right all day once DraftKings got, you know, sent us all that email. But I think, you know, I didn't find out about this until close to 6 o'clock. So I already had all my contests filled out. I play over 50 lineups a day. I'm in, you know, a bunch of different tournaments and then as soon as the news broke, you know, I was scared of a Poker Star situation where, you know, I'm not sure if people are familiar with that, but that's where basically everyone's money who had, you know, money in their different online poker gambling sites, money was frozen. So mm-hmm. I didn't want that to happen. And I wasn't going to take a chance, and I withdrew all my money from every DFS site, and I play on like 7 different sites. So it was a mad dash to get my money out to make sure it was safe. Now, in retrospect, did I need to do that? Maybe not, but still, I would have rather just been safe, and still, that'd be my recommendation is, you know, rather be safe than sorry. It's kind of tough to tell exactly how this is going to play out, but...
So your recommendation at this point is if you play in New York, but not if you play in other places, to maybe withdraw your money.
Yeah, no. If you're in the other states, you know, again.
If you're living in Idaho, let's say, for example.
Yeah, I mean, so my recommendation has been this to a lot of my followers, and again, I have a website, and so I touch on these issues, and my recommendation is look, no one we can't predict the future. I mean, but like me and you talked about yesterday, Mark. Like I kind of saw this happening in New York, and I sure as hell wouldn't be surprised if, you know, certain states like that have the exact same tests as New York, like New Jersey, Washington, Oregon, Alaska, Alabama, Nebraska, Hawaii, they say, hey, why don't we follow suit?
So Justin, what's your take on that? Would you give the same advice to New Yorkers as Daniel has?
So, you know, I don't want to be necessarily giving advice as to how, you know, individuals yeah. should operate in the sense of how they should react to some of this news. Again, I do think that most of the risk primarily falls on the operators. I understand that there is the potential fear of a Black Friday situation with regards to poker, where, you know, basically the accounts were frozen for years. The difference between poker and fantasy sports is fantasy sports, you know, particularly the daily ones, have the support of very strong players. You know, we're talking the professional sports leagues. They have this federal statute that poker does not have that, you know, expressly exempts it. These games is so long as they meet these certain requirements at the federal level. So to a certain degree, I think that, you know, it might be a tad overreactive to say that it's going to be doomsday and that people should be taking out all their money. You know, obviously there's some risk and there's some unpredictability. I don't have any insight into what the federal, you know, attorney general, mm-hmm. what the federal government intends to do. But you have seen, you know, recently a groundswell of, you know, or a groundswell is probably the wrong use of words, but you have seen just a number of legislative proposals pop up on a state by state basis, where basically what they've done is they've mimicked the federal statute stating that, you know, daily fantasy sports or fantasy sports that meet XYZ requirements are legal. And what they've done is they've implemented, you know, these consumer protection requirements, you know, such that, you know, the states can regulate it, but they're still expressly declaring it, you know, these games legal. So I wouldn't, you know, I don't have this overarching concern that, you know, this is any sort of doomsday scenario and that, you know, operators, or rather that, you know, participants should move quickly or it's all going to go. I do understand where the concern comes from. Absolutely.
Yeah, sure. And then I would just add on that. Yeah. And I'm not trying to say that I think a doomsday scenario is going to happen where everyone's money is going to be frozen for years and years. And, but I just don't want, you know, I know some of us have, you know, we all have, you know, varying amounts of money in there. And I would just recommend that, you know, and at least for me personally, you know, mm-hmm. I didn't want, you know, a significant amount of money on various sites. Now, especially with the news of New York, that kind of altered things for me. But, you know, I think if you live in a different state where DFS is still legal, you know, obviously it's, you know, keep playing, keep having a great time with it, but just be aware that all this stuff is going on. And I would recommend, you know, maybe withdrawing a little bit some of that money, and not leaving, you know, a significant amount in a bankroll on various sites.
To put a cherry on top of it, I think basically what Daniel's saying is that given the uncertainty, that it's probably wise to just, you know, be smart.
Yep.
You know, do what feels comfortable, and, you know.
When's the next time you're going to play daily fantasy sports? Like, are you playing tomorrow or the next day, or are you waiting?
Yeah, this for me is you know, as it's weird. As a lawyer on one hand, you know, you got the legal side of it, and then, you know, as an avid DFS player where, because as we talked about yesterday, it's basically a second job to me at this point, how much I play. So that's kind of the main question that I'm, you know, tackling right now. And I didn't play tonight. I canceled all my entry fees. And then kind of as me and Justin were talking before the show, is how we think this is going to play out. So technically, and Justin, again, feel free to let me know if you disagree with any of this, but I mean, it seems like, so we have the Attorney General of New York, right, kind of issuing this notice, you know, saying, look, hey, FanDuel, DraftKings, you guys are evil, you know, and you guys are, you know, and I'm coming to save the day, and with New York residents, you know, you can't take their money anymore. But it sounds like DraftKings and FanDuel aren't going to go quietly, and there's you know, the biggest reason for that is money, right? I mean, New York has the most, I think it's the highest percentage of players, of DFS players. I think there's over 500,000 DFS players in New York. So if FanDuel and DraftKings lost New York, that would be a big blow. And not only would that be a big blow, just losing New York, but other states, like I kind of mentioned previously, that have the exact same test for things for you know, this material element test that is you know, it kind of gets legal if we want to go down that road. But other states, you know, could follow. So FanDuel and DraftKings seem like they're going to fight this, and if they decide to fight it, ultimately it could end up in court, and then the burden would fall on the New York Attorney General, and the New York Attorney General would then have to prove that chance is a material factor in DFS. So if that's the way it's going to play out, you know, if you live in New York, you can keep playing. Now, there is some risk if you keep playing, because again, we have the Attorney General here saying, hey, it's illegal, and you know, I don't, and operators, I don't want you taking New York residents' money. But you know, you have FanDuel and DraftKings, not, you know, they're not going to go silently. So how exactly
that's the interesting thing to me is that they have such big partners on their side, like
and that's
the NBA, the NFL, and a lot of partnerships with each individual team. It'll be seems like they have some backing on their side. Yeah, although it'll be interesting to see how those guys react over the next few days. If they sort of full force back them, DraftKings and FanDuel, or if they are silent, or if they do something else.
Yeah, I mean it's pretty fascinating, and that's you know, like Justin was saying, that's what does separate this from the PokerStars situation.
Mm-hmm. Now, Justin, do you have anything else that you think that you expect to see or that we should be watching for in the short term as far as next steps?
So one thing I do want to point out is I know we've kind of batted around the term ruling or order. You know, what's occurred in New York is none of those things. Yes, this cease and desist letter was sent. But what it is, it's the Attorney General's opinion. Now, opinions can be persuasive in a court, but they're not binding on a court. You know, this isn't a steadfast ruling where the court has made a determination that this is gambling. It's the Attorney General's opinion. That's why it's also the Attorney General's burden if this thing was brought to the court's attention to prove that it's actually gambling. So while while that potentially gets determined, you know, that's why DraftKings and FanDuel believe that they can still operate in the state. There is no determination that this is, you know, a gambling game yet. This is just an opinion, and that's important to note. Again, these type of things, you know, when we're talking about attorney general opinions, they can be persuasive on other states. You know, Daniel mentioned a couple of other states that, you know, employ the material element test, which is, you know, a test right around the middle ground, I'd say, in terms of how strict it necessarily is. We're talking Oregon, Alabama, New Jersey, Missouri, a couple of those states. So they could find this, you know, substantially persuasive, depending on what the actual formal written opinion states, which we haven't seen because I don't believe it's been released. But it's also important to note that there are a number of other states that use a less, less harsh test. It's one called the predominant purpose test or predominant factor test, where basically if it's, you know, if a contest is deemed to be 51% skill, then it is not chance. It's not gambling. And so, you know,
it's just whether it's majority one way or the other.
Right, which is, you know, when we talk about what's material, that's a really subjective
term.
Exactly. You know, with this predominance, it's basically been fleshed out in the courts. I think there's a California opinion that describes what predominance mean, and it weans 51% based on the legal ruling. But when we're talking about that, you know, it's important to note that, you know, other attorney generals have come to different opinions. They've come to different conclusions. Kansas comes to mind. Recently, Massachusetts, where, you know, the attorney general there is, you know, noted anti-gambling expansion as part of her platform when she ran, and has backed that up. But yet she, you know, came out with a very affirmative stance, you know, stating that, you know, these daily fantasy contests do not violate any federal or state laws. Massachusetts is a state, like Kansas, that uses this predominant factor test. So it's, you know, while this, you know, this New York Attorney General opinion certainly can be persuasive in other states, you know, its reach is not quite as, quite as huge as it potentially could have been, depending on the type of, you know, based on the type of test that it uses. That's not to say that it's not important, because I'm not here to bury my head in the sand and say that, you know, New York, just brush it off. Absolutely not. But it is it is to a certain degree, you know, not necessarily, it can't necessarily be equated with, you know, every single other jurisdiction out there.
And I mean, just to kind of put a, I think Justin used the phrase cherry on top. I can go with that. Another
cherry.
I don't know, what the hell? What was that? All right, did anyone else hear that noise, right? Someone.
Yeah, somebody jumped in the Google Hangout and started making some noise.
I was going to say, because that's how I feel right now with New York's decision. That's that would be a good noise.
I kicked them out, so.
Oh, all right.
I just wanted to ask, do you guys have any sort of idea of how they would go about trying to prove whether it was more skill or chance? Like, how do you draw a conclusion on what percentage is?
It's a battle of experts. 100%, it's a battle of experts where each side will bring in and have experts testify as to whether these games are skill or chance, and then it'll be a decision based on a finder of fact, usually in this case a jury, to make a determination as to, you know, which expert was more persuasive, more believable, and apply, you know, what that testimony to the actual law.
And do we know how those – I mean, I guess there could be a million different ways, a million different experts would do it, but is there a sort of a standard way that an expert would say, hey, I think it's 80% skill, 20% chance, or I think it's 50-50, or I think it's 60-40, or is there any sort of rule of thumb of how that is sort of calculated?
Well, you got to understand that when we're talking about this fantasy sports, you know, law that we're dealing with, it's very new and it's been hardly tested in courts or otherwise. Mm-hmm. We do have a couple of things to rely on. There's a New Jersey court, federal court, when it was discussing season-long games. Part of its dicta, it actually came to the conclusion that these season-long games are games of skill, and it listed off a number of reasons. The key one that applies to the daily games being the selection of players. So something like that could have some carryover effect. Additionally, you know, a really important one right now, and while it only necessarily applies to this particular game, but there's an operator out there called Star Fantasy, which, you know, what they did is they contracted out for this third party, you know, study to determine whether or not these were the games that they were offering, which were salary cap games, were games of skill or chance. And this, you know, through empirical evidence, which is critical, this empirical evidence showed that these games were predominantly games of skill. Now, again, I use the word predominantly because that's what was concluded. You know, when we talk about New York and this material element test, what's material is definitely more subjective. But it is, you know, it is important to note that there are some ways to prove these type of claims.
Right. And Mark, to put it in like layman's terms, though. I mean, and this is where I think I might kind of disagree with Justin a little bit. I think the New York standard of this material, you know, this material factor test is a pretty low bar. And if this does ultimately go to court, you know, I would think that the New York Attorney General should be able to prove his case. Again, I mean, you know, obviously no one can predict the future, but you know, we talk about like a material, you know, is chance a material factor in DFS? Just, you know, like take a game tonight, right? Any game. Let's say it was, you know, let's say it was Cavs Utah. Let's say there was like, you know, someone scored. Let's say, you know, Cleveland was up 20 with 2 minutes to go, you know, and then Mo Williams got like a garbage layup. Now, is that chance? I mean, so it gets like, you know.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, like it gets like, I mean, that's why it, in a way it's like so silly, you know, when you talk about. But that's like the kind of, you know, that's some of the testing that actually is going to be, or the experts will have to like testify to. When, you know, when you're talking about what is chance, you know, what is skill, and it gets, you know, it gets into all these, you know, to me it's pretty crazy. And I mean, especially if the fact that each of these states has a lot of these states have different tests, and that the federal government left gambling laws up to the states, and that's where it gets murky and kind of crazy, and that's why we're all kind of left in this limbo where we have, you know, each state kind of can do what it's want to do what it wants. Even though Congress enacted this law back in 2006, you know, each state can kind of do what it wants in terms of, you know, determining, you know, what is skill and you know, what's gambling, what's a game of chance.
And you use the term murky, and I think that's appropriate, because really that's exactly why you've seen some of this legislation expressly carving out these games at a state level now, so that they can, you know, resolve some of this legal ambiguity that currently exists. And, you know, I think an ironic thing to note is that New York actually proposed a law, you know, one of these laws targeting daily fantasy sports at the very end of October. Now, New York's law is a little bit different because actually they've identified it as fantasy sports gambling that falls under the state gambling code. I'm not going to pretend that I've reviewed this law so significantly that I can comment on it in too much depth. But what I will say is that, you know, that type of clarification is, you know, critical in why we're seeing it, because we're operating currently in an industry where there's very little guidance because it's so new, and it's an industry
out of nowhere.
It's an industry.
Sorry about that.
That's fine. It's an industry where, Nerd. Because it's so new, we know very. We have very little guidance. I think I just repeated myself to a certain degree, but
you're definitely spot on though. And not only is it new, I mean, the problem is when, you know, the fact that there was this exemption carved out in 2006, no one at the time, you know, that again, this all predated DFS. So no one had DFS in mind, you know, when the exemption, you know, that basically said, you know, fantasy sports, that's a game of skill and that's okay to play. You know, again, they didn't have that in mind. You know, when this all, you know, when DFS kind of came about, and you know, no one contemplated that. So now here we are. DFS now exists, and now every state now has to answer this question. Yep. Ultimately, it boils down to me. I think it boils just down to that, Justin. I mean, every state now has to answer. Look, I mean, because FanDuel and DraftKings shoved this down our throats, every state now has to you know, answer for themselves. Look, is it a game of skill or is it a game of chance?
So here's the one thing. Mark is probably trying to move us along, but I wanted to make one more point that I think is somewhat critical. And that kind of leads towards the short-sightedness of making a determination that something is gambling, making a determination that daily fantasy sports being the key word, is essentially sports gambling at, you know, each of the individual state levels. Now, what New York wants to do, even though they've made this determination, is still regulate these games. Now, unfortunately, you can't necessarily have it both ways based on another federal law, and that's the one we're seeing fought over in New Jersey. That's the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act. What that law basically has done is it prohibits states from authorizing sports betting. Now, authorizing can essentially be equated to gambling. Why I describe it as short-sighted is because if these states call this gambling, it's sports gambling if you do so, but then you can't authorize it. Then you can't regulate it because you cannot regulate sports gambling based on this federal law, which is why you're seeing a lot of other states, Illinois, even Pennsylvania, a law in Florida that's being drafted as of just, I think the news came out just today, they are not defining fantasy sports is gambling because they realize that all that's going to do is cause complications with this PASPA federal law, which, even though it's probably inevitable that sports betting will be legalized at the federal level, still does exist.
Very good. Thanks for sharing that. So let's say that I am somebody who doesn't follow the legal stuff as close as you guys, which is true. What am I, if I'm interested in daily fantasy continuing to be a major thing that I can be involved in, what am I looking for, like, in the future? Like, what are, I mean, you guys have talked about kind of next steps, but what am I hoping will happen, or what is good news look like to me?
I mean, hold on, I'm typing a tweet, like, as we speak, saying, Justin is dominating this podcast.
I tend to do that. I'm sorry. I'm fairly loquacious. What can I say?
No. I meant it in totally in a good way.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm wasted anyway. I mean, DFS is taken from me. I'm just sad.
So, Justin, do you have some thoughts? Like, what are we looking for here? Like,
are we looking at it from the operator side or the consumer side?
No, what would be a sign of good news? Like, just as somebody who plays casually, what is a sign of good news for me?
I think the next couple of days are going to be really, really interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what are the big investors. You know, we've kind of mentioned already, right? All the people who are backing FanDuel and DraftKings. What are they going to do now, right? What are they going to say publicly? Are they going to say anything? Are they going to keep backing FanDuel and DraftKings? What's going to happen there? That's what I'm really interested to see. To see that, I mean, obviously, if we have, you know, big time sponsors pull out and do that kind of stuff, that's a bad omen. Now, also, I'm interested to see, again, we saw a little bit today of FanDuel and DraftKings' reaction. I want to see more. I want to see more in the press, kind of what they're going to do, and more a kind of a more an exact plan of attack that they're hopefully they'll let the public know how they're going to fight this and how, you know, and what, you know, and you know, and why it's still going to be legal and why New Yorkers should still be able to play. And see how kind of how, you know, I want to see, you know, more of their response and exactly, you know, what they're going to do to kind of, you know, attack the Attorney General now. So, I mean, those are kind of the
yeah, thanks. I'm looking for. What do you think, Justin? What are some things that you're looking for that you feel like would be good news for the DFS community?
Well, less specifically, I think what you're seeing actually constitutes good news. Now, I'm not talking New York. I'm talking about in these other jurisdictions where we're seeing, you know, legislation being proposed that exempts fantasy sports from the definition of gambling. I think that clarity is good. And most importantly, what I think you're seeing a lot of is these states waking up to, you know, what they're basically seeking to do is enact uniform consumer protections such mm-hmm. that we don't have a situation where, again, I think Daniel hit it on the head, it's not one where I think there was much concern, at least from those who understand the industry, that anything went wrong with this FanDuel employee who won that money, because these guys eat, sleep, and drink fantasy sports. It makes sense that they're actually going to be successful at them too. But it will, you know, it will give consumers, people who play these games at a casual level, you know, it'll allow them to recognize, to appreciate that these games are above board, and they'll have something to fall back on, namely mm-hmm. that the states will be, you know, whether it's auditing or requiring age verification or anti-fraud measures, you know, that these consumers will know that the operators are using best practices and that the games are safe and can be enjoyed by the consumers. And I think that's where a lot of this recent legislation that you're continuing to see every day really focuses on. And I think that is good news, and I think that's the way that most places are going to go. Because, again, when all is said and done, sports betting is likely to be legal at the federal level. States will still have the opportunity whether or not they want to enact it. But once we get to that point, whether it's PASPA being repealed or these pro leagues putting, you know, lobbyist pressure on the government to enact, you know, a new statute of some sort that, you know, expressly carves out these daily games or sports betting or ever, however they want to do it, you know, we're going to get to the point where this type of stuff is going to be, you know, permissible in most jurisdictions, and it won't be nearly the fight over whether it's legal or not. But right now you're seeing a lot of most states take the approach of, you know, basically calling it not gambling, because again, if they call it gambling, they can't authorize it, they can't regulate it. So they're recognizing that we can call it not gambling, and then we can regulate it so that our constituents can enjoy a game that, hell, millions of Americans love to play and are passionate about. And heck, Daniel is a great example of that, because he is, you know, he's dedicated a substantial amount of his time now and opened up his own website to really, you know, showing how fantasy sports, particularly the daily games, can really be just an enjoyable experience no matter what your, you know, your level of involvement is.
Yeah. If Daniel's anything, he's passionate. Hey guys, listen, I really appreciate you both coming on such short notice to help me and the listeners understand what's going on a little bit better. This has been very helpful and hopefully interesting for everybody to listen to. Certainly was interesting for me to hear. You guys have basically answered all my questions. Is there anything else that you feel like kind of final thoughts or things that we should have touched on that we haven't touched on? Daniel, can we start with you?
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, Mark. I'm, at this point, I'm wasted. I mean, I'm just my final thoughts is, you know, I know I have a lot of you know, friends and followers who play DFS and they live in New York, and it's for us, it's you know, it is it's a somber day, and I would just say, it's, you know, the way that FanDuel and DraftKings are going, it looks like they're going to fight. So it's still not over for us, and there's still there may be light at the end of the tunnel. So it's not all dark and dreary yet for us New Yorkers, and you know, for the rest of the country, like kind of Justin was saying, there are some promising signs. So it's if I had to use one word that's at least for my final thought, it would be uncertainty. I mean, no one really knows what's going to happen, again, because this is an area of the law that was passed in 06 when, you know, no one contemplated DFS. And so now here we are, and now it needs to be addressed. And it's tough to say what's going to happen. So, you know, like the rest of us, I mean, I'm going to be watching and following, and I'll say one thing, it's going to be interesting, how it plays out.
Thanks a lot for sharing that, Daniel, and for all your thoughts tonight. We'll don't go any near any ledges, my friend.
Yeah, honestly, this is the first day I haven't played DFS in, you know, it's got to be like 2 years now, and it felt going through withdrawal, it felt just so bizarre not to be able to have the games and have be following the action and have some money on it. So
you can call Justin or I after the podcast. We can talk you through the night. Justin, you got any final thoughts before we sign off?
No, I mean, I'll just keep it short. You know, I think the Attorney General's opinion, like I said earlier, which is a tad short-sighted and quite frankly disappointing for operators and, you know, participants alike. What I do think, though, is that obviously things are never going to be the same, you know, as they were when the daily fantasy sports industry was flying under the radar, and there's going to be a lot of changes and, you know, movements ahead in the next, you know, months or years, particularly as it concerns regulatory framework. But with the support of the pro leagues and the backing by so many who love the games, I do think that daily fantasy sports are here to stay, and that there's still going to be room for growth in the industry as this, you know, legal ambiguity begins to slowly resolve.
Very good. Thanks. Thanks again, you guys. I really appreciate you coming on, like I said, on such short notice. I'm excited to share this with our listeners in really almost real time as we're reacting to the news here. So do you guys want to tell everybody where they can find you if they have questions for you, if they want to tell you thank you for being on the podcast? Daniel, where can we find you?
So you can find me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1. You can find me there. You can find me also packing my bags so I find a new state to move it to. No, I'm just kidding. And you can also find, so I have a website too, which is dgcourtroomdfs.com. You can find me there as well. I'll also be posting some videos there regarding the news today about New York and you know, awesome. And again, regarding what's going on in the future. So those are the two main places to find me. And obviously, you know, hit me up on Twitter anytime.
Awesome. Thanks, Daniel. And Justin, where can we find you?
For me, you can always find me at my firm's website. That's charlesfranklinlaw.com. I'll have email contact and phone numbers there. You can also feel free to, you know, get at me at Twitter. It's at JFIELKOW. That's Jay Philko. And, you know, I'm typically pretty happy to discuss, you know, this industry because I'm very passionate about it with anyone who'd like to.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Thanks again so much for coming on. If you're listening to this podcast, go tell Daniel and Justin thanks for being on the podcast, and thanks for sharing with us what they know. For Justin and Daniel, this is Mark Roberts signing off. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, hopefully about some actual fantasy sports. Talk to you again tomorrow, guys. Thanks. Bye.